find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest most certainly goes without exception. He is a powerhouse entrepreneur. He is a multi-unit franchise owner across multiple brands. My goodness, talk about somebody who has been there and done it in the franchising space. But I think his greatest superpower is his matchmaking ability. That combined with his franchise experience, oh my goodness, I am super humbled to have this guest on the show. He is known as That Franchise Guy, John Anderson. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Nick. You're too kind. I definitely have a lot of balls in the air, but you make it sound a lot more impressive, I think, than it is.
Haha. No kidding, right? Entrepreneurship certainly requires a growth mindset and a commitment to constantly leveling up. With that being said, That Franchise Guy, where does that name come from, John?
Well, so it's a funny story, and I'll try and keep it brief. But and I know we're going to talk about some of the various things that I've got those balls in the air. As I got into franchising, after about 10 years, I decided, you know, I'd get into this consultant role, right? And so we've got a house at the lake. I created this LLC called Lakeport Consulting Group. That's where our house is in Lakeport, here in Oklahoma, at the Grand Lake, the Cherokees. And so for about 6 months, I was, you know how it is, you're new in the business, right? Dialing for dollars. I'm talking to a lot of leads, talking to a lot of people saying, you know, hey, it's John, you know, That Franchise Guy. We talked last week. And, you know, when you get started in this business, it can be, you got good days and bad days, but, you know, it's more rough ones when you're getting started. You know, it's like anything, you got to power through. And so I was feeling sorry for myself one night, and I'm online. I go to GoDaddy.com and I type in That Franchise Guy, because that's the message I've been leaving for people. The URL was available for $12. So I hit the go button, immediately rebranded, got the logos made, everything under That Franchise Guy. And, you know, from that point on, really positioned myself as That Franchise Guy. You know, you go to LinkedIn, there's probably 1 million John Andersons, but there's only one linkedin.com/thatfranchiseguy. So that's it. I mean, it's kind of a funny story, and it's actually, I think it's a very funny story, but it's actually a very simple one too.
Yeah. And it's exactly what you had talked about, right? You hear the title entrepreneur and business owner, it's trending, but when you first started, you were grinding, you were hammering the phones and reaching out to folks and often saying something of the sort, That Franchise Guy. And people reached out and inquired and came to know you in sorts by That Franchise Guy. And I love the fact that it was born out of hustle and the grind that is entrepreneurship, specifically that year one. That year one, it comes with a lot of firsts. And that combined with a lot on the line creates for an interesting roller coaster. But my goodness, that is what forms the ability to lead and do special things in your community. So John, I just love the fact that that franchise guy is born out of the grind and the hustle of being an entrepreneur.
Well, I appreciate that. It's, you know, I sometimes I think a little overly high of myself, and I'd had 10 years of experience in franchising. And again, I know we're going to talk about that, but I'd been a mortgage banker before and a mortgage broker technically. And, you know, a lot of the skill sets were the same. And I thought I was just going to, you know, turn my license on and start helping people with franchising, being a consultant, and I was going to kill it. Right. And you know what? It's a learning curve for everybody, even for me. And so, yeah, it's a grind getting started for sure in any business.
Right. Yeah. Getting in stride, getting in the rhythm, and fully getting into stride with the process. And that's the great thing about a franchise is, you know, that vetting and systematizing around how to deliver that service or product in the market, that can take decades, and it's expensive, it's timely, and a lot of that infrastructure is complemented by technology and training and operations and marketing, you name it. There are all sorts of different components of a business that make up what makes it successful. And if you are doing all of that, in addition to getting in stride year one, oh my goodness, that is a big ask. But what franchising allows you to do is get right into the system, plug in to the community, and focus on the execution and the mindset around executing around some of those factors that we were talking about, like the hustle and the grind and the first, as opposed to, you know, creating the model while competing with others that have already established it over a long period of time. And so, John, how did franchising find you? Because you don't just wake up one day and say, ah, I'm going to get into franchising. In fact, most people think, you know, it's Burger King, McDonald's. And, you know, I obviously own Lime Painting. It's a home improvement brand. And you would never think that franchising is doing things like that. But I had a friend, a mentor tell me, you know, as long as it's moral, ethical, it makes money, it can be franchise. And that is literally anything. So how did franchising find you?
Well, I've done a few careers that that most people don't, you know, I will say people tend to stumble into rather than seeking them out. But as I came out of mortgage banking, basically it's like this. My wife and I had both had great careers in mortgage banking, you know, going through the 90s and into the early 2000s. At this point in time, we had young children, triplets, actually. And I think we've talked about that before, but I don't know, they were 4 or 5 years old. And Melanie came home one day and said, I'm done. I want to stay home with the kids. Let's sell the houses. We were in Southern California. Sell the houses, move back to where your family is in Oklahoma and raise the kids there. That was a project. Didn't happen overnight, right? We had a house up in Big Bear Lake. We had one in Orange County. We had to sell them. We had to reposition stuff. It just was crazy. So it took about a year and a half to make the move and get completed. In the process, it occurred to me, what are we going to do when we get there? Well, I'd always wanted to own my own business. In fact, had dabbled with a few things on the side of my mortgage career over the years. And the one thing I knew I didn't want to do was get back into mortgages. It was a very financially rewarding business, but it was a grind and not something that I ever loved. It was a means to an end. So I knew I wanted to own my own business. We had the resources to do it. I mean, we'd sold two houses in California right at the peak of the market in 2006. And we'd cashed out, you know, some good money out of the businesses we were in. So I turned to franchising. I knew what I wanted. I didn't know how to get there. I didn't have a better mousetrap. I didn't have an idea to start a computer in my garage. I was like, or a computer company, you know? So I started doing back then what was called, you know, UFOCs. It's now the franchise disclosure document, but, you know, going online, requesting these UFOCs and information. And it was 2006, but, you know, the internet wasn't quite as slick. You know, a lot of them would still physically mail them to me and doing a lot of homework. And in the process, wow, came across actually a guy who still does what I do in this business now as a consultant. And he introduced me to a company called Bounce U, and we opened that franchise in 2007. So that's kind of a long-winded story of that's how we found it. That's why I got into it. And it certainly has proven to be everything I hoped. We still own the business. It's here in Tulsa. We'll be 18 years in July. And it's been a good business for us. So it's an indoor play and party center for kids with inflatables and stuff.
Aha. What do you think it was about franchising that interested you?
Well, you know, I knew I was very good as a mortgage broker. I knew I had the skills. I needed an idea and I wanted a business plan. I wanted to fast track it. I don't want to try and create this and stumble through it myself. And all of this stuff kind of came to me intuitively. I know it's a lot of the things that you and I both probably tell people about franchising every day now, but to me, it just made sense. Like, all right, franchises are there to train you, to support you, and one thing you talked about a minute ago, to plug into the community, that's something that a lot of people don't talk about. You know, the people and the relationships go so much farther in determining how successful you're going to be than the systems. But intuitively, for people to get started and to really grasp it, they have to, it's just easier to talk about systems and business plans and support and training and marketing. You know, the idea that the people they choose to partner with and work with and associate with are going to make such a difference is not, you can't quantify that, you know?
Right. No kidding. And it is your backyard, the areas you're familiar with. I always love going into a market and visiting and just sitting back and going for a ride, quite literally, because I could think about running my business in my market. There's just a certain confidence that comes with doing it in your backyard, where you're from. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pride and ownership in that. Like for me, I've hired a lot of folks from my church. They've gone on to become franchise partners, across multiple states. And that is just awesome. I've had friends invite, you know, their sons graduating college or even as interns, and, you know, them become franchise partners. And that certainly means something. And is one of my favorite parts, but yeah, it's often overlooked.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, John. So I grew up with a paintbrush in college. My goodness, about two decades ago. I can't believe it's been nearly two decades, but my first year was 2008. I started painting in college, and you can relate. Would you mind sharing a little bit about your college painting days?
I figured you might want to bring this up. So, yeah. So, you know, when I was at USC in Los Angeles, like you, you know, wanting to be being an athlete and wanting to be a college athlete, I went to USC to play baseball, and walked on. I was not recruited there. I was recruited in Oklahoma to some junior colleges and things like that. But I wanted to go to a big time school and get a good education and hopefully, you know, play some ball along the way. Well, our, you know, all everything coach Rod Dedeaux, who was, I mean, I could go on and on about everything that he did for college baseball in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And anyway, he retired after my freshman year. And so things went kind of a little bit sideways. They redshirted me my freshman year, but new coach came in. The whole system got turned upside down. And pretty quickly, I was on the outside looking in and like, all right, well, what else am I going to do with my time? Well, I joined a fraternity. And spring break time, maybe even before my sophomore year, I'm walking across campus and there's this guy with a table that says, you know, start a business. I'm like, that's right up my alley. So I went up and talked to him, and it turned out to be they were with a company called Student Painters, and it technically is a franchise. It's a short-lived one. You know, typically franchise agreements in our world are 10 years. Well, this was for the summer. And so you paid a small fee. It was and they put you through training and helped you get started. You know, you got enough defined territory and so looking back, really that is how I got started in franchising. But at the time, I had no idea. I was starting a business and I was learning painting and I was learning how to manage people. And you talk about community. I mean, a bunch of my fraternity brothers worked for me, and I know what it's like to go, you know, all right, it's Friday afternoon. I got two crews I'm running and I don't have a job on Monday for one of them, you know? So I talked my girlfriend and go on cold calling. We're knocking on doors until 7 o'clock at night on a Friday night when I'm 20 years old, you know, and summer in Los Angeles. And we booked a job and had to work for my crew on Monday. And sometimes that's what it takes. And so I learned a lot. And so much, in fact, they invited me back the following summer to be what they called a district manager, which is more or less a mentor or coach to 10 new people doing what I did that summer. So it was a pretty awesome experience.
Right. No kidding. And, I caught that there. You learned the hustle.
I figured you might catch on to that piece.
Yeah, most certainly.
You know, it's so much of what we do in success. I know I talked about the people, but it's an attitude of whatever it takes, right? I mean, whatever it takes, I'm going to be successful with this. And, you know, we can go down a big, long conversation about what does success mean to me or you or whatever, and how do you define that? How do you get there? That's a whole different webinar or interview probably. But I do think that, that's that stick-to-itiveness, that commitment to just not going to fail is what drives and sometimes makes a difference between who makes it and who doesn't, you know. In my case, you know, I could have just run one crew through the summer. I'd have made a little bit of money. But I wanted to be, I wanted to do something bigger. And I wasn't the number one producer by any stretch, but certainly turned some heads and made some impression out there by what we did do. And for me, back in 1988, I think I made about $4,000 that summer. That was a lot of money for a college kid. So,
yeah, no kidding. I love that you played ball in college. Because, personally, I wrestled in college and there's just something about being on a team and working together, the grind that happens, the resilience that goes into the day in, day out, week over week, and that consistency, in many ways, that is business. And, you talk about perseverance and being resilient and doing that in a business, it very much like sports has competitors and has adversity, has setbacks, has goals, has teammates. And in many ways is in the community. You're playing for your local sports team. You come to know folks in the community, that is a lot like business.
Yep.
And so, you know, as you were talking, I was just thinking about the resilience of our franchise partners that are the best owners, because they're just that. They're so resilient about getting it done and just figuring it out. And you always have the community that is other franchise owners that have been there, done it. You have the process, you have support, you have training, you have all these things to lean on, but you still have to be resilient, you know, amid all of the aspects that come with being a business owner. Being a business owner is not for everybody. Not everybody's wired to be the guy or the gal. And yeah, it requires a certain mindset. And as so much of that is rooted in just getting it done, right? Yep. Figuring it out and being resilient.
100%. Yeah, agreed.
So, you know, you mentioned moving back to Tulsa and doing that to be with your family and to allow your wife to be a stay-at-home mom full-time with your triplets. And John, do you have triplets or is it just three kiddos? Remind me.
No, it's they're three triplets, or they are triplets, the three kids. That's all we have. They were born late in 98 and they're 26 now.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. What a fun. I have four between 5 and 9, but you know, you to have three all the same age going through elementary and middle school. And, you know, now they're young adults, and that's just great. So you move back to Tulsa to be back home for you, right? And your wife is at home, and you choose entrepreneurship, you choose business, and you work with a franchise consultant. He helps you find a franchise. So there's all these different paths, John, and I keep going back to, because I love your story, and obviously we've had a lot of opportunities to hang out and get to know each other, and I've had the honor of meeting your wife and hosting you guys here in Denver. That was awesome. But preparing for this conversation, I was just even more so just smiling about this part of your story. And and so you could have done a lot of things, John, but you chose franchising and entrepreneurship. And you left a very successful mortgage career, might I add.
Yeah, and I could have recreated that here. I could have gone into real estate. I could have, my dad's a successful attorney here in town. And I mean, even now he still practices and he's in his 80s. But knows a lot of people. He could have gotten me connected with all kinds of folks to you know, for jobs. But I go back to, you know, and you probably did this, running, you know, lemonade stands and mowing lawns as a kid for people, just going around knocking on doors. You know, it wasn't actually a business, but it was trying to be one. You know, it was independent. It wasn't. And so, you know, it's calling kind of always been in my blood, and always something that I saw myself doing. And it's interesting because, you know, my parents, my family, there really isn't. I come from a family of attorneys, you know, and not entrepreneurs at all. So, but yeah, it's just something that always was me. So I didn't really have any interest in, like I said, getting back into mortgages here. This was an opportunity for Melanie to be able to stay home with the kids. It was an opportunity for us to also, you know, start something fresh. And she's a little more risk averse. So it took a little bit of encouragement from me to, you know, assure her we could make this work, but we did. It's been good.
So. Yeah. But what about that secure paycheck, that secure salary and everything that goes with that pension and job security?
Well, I have a lot of friends who kind of said the same thing in 2006 and seven that were still making a lot of money slinging mortgages in Southern California. And 2008, 2009, 2010, you know, they couldn't pay their mortgage. So, you know, it's everything. And I think it's important for people to think about, you know, life is not without challenges and nothing is guaranteed. No job is guaranteed. You know, no business is guaranteed. It's all going to take effort to be successful. And, but yeah, I mean, you know, you mentioned a minute ago, not everybody's cut out to be a business owner. You know, some people will never get beyond the idea of a check and, you know, that's okay. But it's still not a guaranteed check, as many people, you know, find out sometimes the hard way.
Right. No kidding. And that is what is so inspiring to me. You pursued and executed. And I'm sure there were years or probably moments prior to you actually moving to back home to Oklahoma, where, you know, it just was a thought, it was fleeting, or maybe it was something you knew you'd do. But the fact that you actually did it, and not only did you actually do it, you said, we're going to fully design this. We're going to go back home. You're going to work from home. You're going to focus on the kiddos. And I'm going to do what I want to do, which is have the time and independence and the freedom to be a family man and a businessman.
Yeah. And in the first few years, you know, we got open. It was, I don't say a struggle. Initially, it really kind of fell into place pretty well. But this was the summer of 2007. And so, you know, our first year was pretty good for a first year in business. But you know what happened in the fall of 2008 and then 2009. I mean, we were fortunate in Oklahoma. The economy was not as bad as many places. However, you know, we had the lack of foresight to open a Bounce U in Las Vegas in the fall of 2008, literally as, you know, I'm thinking the worst is behind us, and we were just at the bottom of the world. I mean, you know, it was just getting worse and worse and worse for a couple more years, particularly there. So, yeah, I mean, as good as it was here, I went through the struggles of trying to run a business remotely and relying on, you know, managers and how to coach them. And yeah, so we did that for about 3 years before finally selling it. You know, it's not all roses. The one here has been really successful. We're still here 18 years later. The one in Las Vegas, I was lucky to get out of it what we put into it. You know, it never made money. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why, but I think that experience is an important one to share too. It doesn't always, you know, work.
Yeah, that's why I think it's so important to have multiple territories. It's a smart investment strategy in franchising.
Well, and it's important to, I think, have people to guide you. I mean, obviously, I think I do that well now. And looking back, you know, what was I thinking? It's not the type of business that is really well suited to remote management. You know, as much freedom as I had, you know, I was the T-ball coach, the Little League coach, the soccer coach, got involved with scouts. I'm not much of a scout guy, but I would go and participate and be the dad who's there to help and stuff. I'm not an outdoorsman. I learned a lot being there with the guys that were. So it did enable and allow a lot of those type of activities. And it allowed me the free time to go to Vegas every, you know, once a month for a couple of days and check on things and work with the team there and come home. But it was not a bright idea. You know, I'm just going to say that it's just, yeah, you know, I should have done one in Oklahoma City or, you know, someplace that's a, I just, yeah. So anyway,
Yeah, shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? But the fact That's that right. you had multiple and you were getting after it, getting it done, ultimately it settled the way that it was supposed to from that perspective.
And being a hustler and everything and doing and having, you know, the location in Tulsa was and almost always has been one of the top small market. We use that definition, you know, because it's, you know, our average birthday party here is, you know, $320 or something like that. And on the coast, it'll be $800 or something silly. So, but we've always been a top location. And so, yeah, real early on when they formed the first franchise advisory council in, I want to say 2009 or 10, they invited me to be on that. I was involved for about 6 years in that. Was president of the Franchisee Association for a few years. So got to be involved in a, in 2012, I think it was, they rebranded. It was still a fairly young brand, but they came in, you know, they upgraded the, leveled up the marketing and the branding and the color schemes and everything that and I got to be a part of that in terms of the feedback they were looking for what works and what doesn't.
Right. So you did go on to entrepreneurship, you executed on it and you did it at such a high level. You worked in tandem with home office, there with Bounce U, right. And
yep.
A pretty strategic and smart way to leverage all the talent in a franchise is through the Franchise Advisory Council. You come together, unite behind improving the service, the product, the brand. And it's one of my favorite parts of franchising. But you served on the FAC for 6 years with Bounce U. That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, like you said, it's an opportunity from our side of the fence as the franchisee to look under the hood at corporate a little bit. You know, they fly us out there a couple times a year and we did some virtual meetings a couple times a year. Actually back then it was just conference calls. There wasn't even I think Skype might've been around, but we didn't. Yeah, it was really an awesome experience to be able to not just learn kind of how does the culture and the mindset of the franchise at a leadership level work? Because there was plenty of times where we were butting heads too, where we think one thing and they think another, and that it gives both sides, I think. Well, I think the whole point of it is to give both sides some look into how the other side thinks, right?
Yeah, it gives so much perspective. My goodness. Yeah. I love the perspective that it gives home office and franchise owners of home office, because they're both, you know, grinding and hustling and doing everything that they can to improve the brand and the customer experience. And a lot of great ideas and improvements, collaboration happens in those meetings. You know, one of my favorite stories in franchising is the franchise owner at McDonald's who added a breakfast sandwich to their menu. And, you know, he was just taking advantage of all the traffic he would see in the morning, and he didn't have anything on the menu that would catch those eyes. And he added this breakfast sandwich, and look at he created an entire category. And that is the power of healthy collaboration. When, a franchise system is united, clearly everybody is working for the same goals, but you don't always know that unless you have a structured way to collaborate. And you did it for 6 years. My gosh, were you one of the first franchise owners with Bounce U?
Yeah, I would have been. I think I was the 17th location to open. And so, yeah, it had been a system for maybe 4 years, 5 years, something like that. It was still definitely an emerging brand. Yeah.
And then you went on to multi territory. I think it was a master franchising with another brand. Is that correct?
Yeah. So as the kids got older and the, you know, we'd gotten rid of Vegas. So I as soon as we did that in 2012-ish, I always wanted to do something else. The one business wasn't enough. So what's next? But we still had a lot going on with the kids. Well, by 2015-16, they were, you know, in high school, and, you know, there was some rec soccer, but there really wasn't a lot of dad stuff involved. In fact, they, you know, that age, they try and get away from, you'll see soon enough, you know, they're less focused on needing dad and wanting to show that independence. So, so what else can I do? And I got to thinking, well, you know, that's where I got into this role as a consultant in 2016. I thought back to the guy who helped me find Bounce U. And so started doing that in the summer of 16, got trained and certified, and you know, started building this business. In the process, came across a brand. It was a time called Knockouts Haircuts for Men. It is now, they rebranded about 3 years ago to Knockouts Haircuts and Grooming. Still male-focused barbershop type of approach. So I found that brand with a candidate I was working with in 2018. He ended up buying a shop in San Antonio. I helped some folks in Ohio buy theirs. And I started talking to corporate about formalizing a relationship, because it's still a pretty small brand. I mean, there's only like 60 around the country even now. So I kind of became their de facto, you know, lead source or broker or whatnot. Yeah. And I worked with them with a lot of folks. In that process, I kind of fell in love with the model, and we ended up opening our first salon in 2019. I've had some challenges with it, with COVID and whatnot, you know, in the hair business, but, we're still at it. We have three now. And, you know, the master franchise model is a little different. I approached it in that, I have a license to do six. So I've got three more if I want to do them within Oklahoma. Or you can have others, you know, under your master license, and I can make a, you know, make part of the royalty off of that by supporting them. I really looked at it as growing my territory with multiple locations more than I was thinking about being a true master franchise. In fact, the new ownership at Knockouts has even gotten away with it. So they're really trying to discourage the master model, but they'd be obviously happy for us to open more. So that's kind of where we're at with it. It's a good business, somewhat semi-absentee model, and the beauty space, a lot of that is.
Right, no kidding.
Helps as I talk to people about what fits them and what they might want to get into as a business owner. I've got lots of experiences to draw upon, for sure.
Seriously. And that's exactly what I was just thinking. You don't often hear about master franchising, and it is an incredible way to expand, and there are different ways of going about it. I think the newer, more common in franchising is an area development agreement, mm-hmm. where you would still secure those six territories, but you would develop them and expand your team, as opposed to, like you said, being that master franchise owner where you're supporting franchise owners. That's the flexibility within franchising. It's such a neat model. And at the end of the day, it's about uniting in communities across the country and delivering a service or product that delivers value. And along the way, it impacts a lot of folks. And that's where, you know, one of my favorite passions kicks in. And that's the community work, the culture aspect. There are so many different folks that are impacted, from career opportunities to the customers we serve to the events we do in the community. Business is a great way to do good and do it in communities all across the country, or frankly, anywhere around the world. But John, just, you know, your experience there with the growth model is pretty neat, and you're still a multi territory, multi-brand franchise partner. You're still getting after getting it done. And also leaning into helping others do what you're doing, much like somebody did for you. And that is also a beautiful demonstration of franchising. And that's just the culture of franchising at large. And it's created there within franchise systems that are made up of communities. You're going into business for yourself, but not by yourself. And many times folks have already done it, and you can lean on that and ultimately get better and become the number one provider in your market. And the more markets you do that, right, you build a brand that is best in class. That's certainly what we're working to do at Lime. I could talk about that all day, my goodness, but it does transition into an always leveling up mindset, which, John, I know that's a passion of yours. Why are you so committed to always just getting better and having a growth mindset and ultimately never being satisfied?
You know, it's just who I am. I've always been that way. Going back to, you know, even being in school and in college, I was reading business books that weren't part of the curriculum. I was setting myself up for what comes next. Get into mortgage. Well, actually, I was a bond trader for a very brief time before that. And, you know, studying investments, studying sales books, and Zig Ziglar, who was big back then. You know, this predates like Anthony Robbins, right? I mean, you're studying, and I think it's just that it's a concept that we studied back in the day, and I don't know if they still promoted in business school this, but called Kaizen, Japanese term for constant and never ending improvement is roughly how it translates. And I just think if you're not working on that, improving yourself, you're going backwards. I don't think there's any standing, you know, if you're standing still, in my mind, you're going backwards. So I'm constantly, and it's not always about what's the next best business to get into or buy. It's you know, what's best for the kids. The kids have graduated college and, you know, helping them with their careers. It's what's best for the community. You've talked about that. What kind of things can we get into to help people? And doing what I do every day, you know, how can I help people achieve what we've achieved, you know, using franchising as their vehicle to do that. And you know, there's not one thing I can point to. It just kind of is who I am, but I that's just who, what I believe is you got to constantly be growing and looking for ways to, you know, improve yourself and your future and your family.
Absolutely. You know, I look at your career, John, and what you've done in the franchise world. You know, it's clearly at this core here and consistency. I mean, this demonstrated in franchising consistently has created an incredible journey. Thank you for hopping on the show and sharing. I know our audience certainly leveled up because of it. I have a final question for you. Why do you love franchising so much?
Wow. Well, I think it probably has come across throughout the time we've been talking here, but you know, it afforded me personally an opportunity to build things that I'm not sure I would have been able to do on my own. I mean, could I have done my own painting company or gone back to mortgage bank? I mean, could I have done something else? Yeah, I probably would have figured it out, but I just love that. And I'm going to say the right franchises, because you and I both know there are some that are not. But when you partner with the right franchise models and the right franchise people, it affords an opportunity to build something faster and bigger and simpler. I was getting started with our business, and my wife had been what was the club they called it back then? President's Club, with her mortgage company. And we had this trip to Hawaii to go to as for the owners of the business, of the last one we were invited to. And we'd been here in Tulsa for 2 years. And I'm thinking, all right, I got to be, and this is 2007, we're going to be open for 3 months with a brand new business. And I'm going to be in, in Maui, 4,000 miles away or whatever for 8 days. How am I going to do that? So, you had to lean into the systems that were already there and hire the right people and put those pieces in place. And, that just wouldn't have happened, I think, as certainly not as easily without the support of the franchise world. So, as I've gotten into this role, I've met so many amazing people. I just love what franchising brings to people in terms of opportunity. You still have to do the work, and you have to make sure in my role that people understand that. But if you find a franchise model that aligns with people's skills and goals, it's a really powerful thing. And that's really what I do every day is helping people find that match of, there's no perfect franchise for everybody, but there's a lot of good matches, good potential ones that where you get everybody rowing in the same direction, and it's really powerful.
I didn't think you were going to go that direction, John, but I should have known you were going to bring the fire. I just listen to that and I hear what was demonstrated for you demonstrating through what you're doing now and taking your journey of franchise ownership and helping others to experience that same thing based on what's a great fit for them. My goodness. John, thank you again for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun. I know we've been talking about getting our schedules together for a while to do it. So I'm really glad to do it. And yeah, I had a lot of fun too.
Always. Let's go. Absolutely. It's always great. I tell you what, time flies. I could probably do this about 3 hours and it just fly by. And I always learn so many awesome things about you. And that franchise guy, you heard it here from Mr. Anderson. If you like this show, please subscribe. It's how we're able to grow and continue to bring high performers like John Anderson onto the show. Drop a comment down below, engage, let us know your thoughts. And as always, level up.
Thanks. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.